Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Brittany Beers was born into an unstable family life. She was a playful child, but her first few years were plagued with neglect and abuse. Although sadly, actions were not taken right away to protect her or her siblings. In 1997, 6-year-old Brittany enjoyed riding her bike and playing outside. They lived in an apartment complex in Sturgis, Michigan, and Brittany always had someone to play with. Sometimes it was her older brother, a younger sister, or even just a friend in the neighborhood. It was from this neighborhood that little Brittany would disappear after going outside to play. On September 16th, 1997, Brittany and her older brother were outside riding bikes. Around 8:30 p.m., their mother Tina left to run some errands. When she returned, she asked Brittany's brother to find her so they could come inside for the evening. It was a school night. He soon came in to tell his mother that he couldn't find Brittany anywhere. She had simply vanished. Her discarded bicycle was the only thing left behind. Her story may sound strikingly similar to another case, the case of Amber Hagerman. Amber was kidnapped in 1996, just 1 year before Brittany, and was tragically later found deceased. Her parents and advocates fought for legislation to change how missing children cases were handled, and soon we had the official Amber Alert. While Brittany's story initially sounds a lot like Amber Hagerman's, you'll find that it might actually be very different. For one, Brittany, a young 6-year-old child, is still missing. A little girl who went outside to play as she had done so many times before, only this time to disappear into the night. Where is Brittany Ann Beers? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. The story of a missing child is particularly heartbreaking, and this episode may be triggering if certain topics involving children and abuse are sensitive to you. Our goal is to share these stories and help bring awareness to these unsolved missing person cases, especially those that are flying under the radar. By being here and listening to these cases, you are helping their names reach more people. For that, I thank you. I also want to welcome a couple of new Patreon members. A big welcome and thank you to David and Teresa J for joining our Patreon group and supporting our mission over there. As always, the links to our Patreon, all of our social medias, and my contact information can always be found in the show notes. Now let's get into the story of Brittany Beers. Brittany Ann Beers was born on August 1st, 1991, to mother Tina Stettler and her father, Raymond Beers. While the details of that relationship are unclear, the family dynamics in the next few years would be complicated, to say the least. It does get very confusing, but I'll try to keep things as clear as I can. When Brittany was just 3 years old, a babysitter believed that Brittany was being molested by her stepfather at the time, Kevin Folsom. Folsom was also the father of her half-brother. This was reported to authorities, and Kevin ultimately confessed to the crime. In 1995, Kevin was sentenced to prison, and he would remain there until 2008. In 1997, Brittany was 6 years old now and was living at the Village Manor apartment complex with two of her siblings and her mother, Tina, and her father's brother, James Beers. Her mother and her uncle were taking care of the kids, while Brittany's father and an older sister lived across town. It was just said that the relationships were complicated. Brittany already had a confirmed record of abuse, and neighbors at the Village Manor Apartments believed that the children may still be being abused in the home. They would see the kids outside all the time, looking dirty and unkempt, and often telling others that they couldn't go home because their mother locked them out. It is unclear if anyone tried to report this. In August of 1997, Brittany began attending Fawn River Elementary School, and she thoroughly enjoyed going to school. She enjoyed playing with the other children, and her favorite activities would be anything that was arts and crafts related. Going to school was likely a time where Brittany could escape the struggles at home and just be a kid. At least that's what I hope school was for her. In early September 1997, James Beers was arrested for domestic violence, allegedly throwing a bottle at Tina. He would be released soon after and he would return home. It seemed the family life would continue to be tumultuous. The disappearance. Tuesday, September 16th, 1997, was a typical day at school for Brittany and her siblings. After dinner that evening, Brittany and her brother would go outside to play. It was around 7:30 p.m. when they first went out, and they would have a little bit of daylight left to enjoy. By 8:30 p.m., despite it starting to get dark, Tina left to run to the store and allowed the kids to keep playing outside. She saw Brittany on her bike as she drove off and waved to her daughter. Shortly after Tina left, Brittany was seen by her brother sitting on a park bench. She was sitting alone. Tina arrived back home just after 9 o'clock p.m. and asked her son to go get Brittany and tell her that it was time to come inside for the night. A few minutes would go by before her brother came running back inside, saying that he couldn't find Brittany anywhere. Tina went out to search as well and started asking anyone if they had seen Brittany. One neighbor said that he thought he saw her just before 9 o'clock p.m. talking to someone in a red or brown vehicle. This neighbor said that Brittany then came up to him after and said that she had, quote, made a new friend, end quote. The neighbor didn't really think anything about it and went about their business. That is, until they realized Brittany was missing. All that could be recalled was that the man was in a red or brown vehicle and that he had a mustache. During the search of the area around the apartments, Brittany's bicycle was found abandoned with no sign of Brittany anywhere. By 10:30 p.m. that night, Tina officially reported her daughter as missing. 6-year-old Brittany Ann Beers had disappeared. The search. Authorities quickly responded. Brittany was just 6 years old, and by now it was completely dark out. If she was out there, she could be lost or injured, and she was probably terrified. When her bike was discovered abandoned, however, everyone quickly thought about a case from the year prior, a case that had received a lot of media attention and many people were already familiar with. That is the case of Amber Hagerman. Amber was 11 years old on January 13th, 1996, and she was out riding her bike when she was abducted. Her bike was found abandoned, but Amber was missing. 4 days later, however, Amber's body was found in a nearby creek. She had been brutally murdered. Amber's case remains unsolved to this day. Amber's story takes place in Arlington, Texas. Nowhere near Sturgis, Michigan, but Amber's case was known nationally. Her case would go on to bring legislation enacting the Amber Alert for missing children. Brittany was younger than Amber, however. She was only 6 years old, but her bike was found abandoned, and it was believed that she might have been abducted, just like Amber. Searches were conducted around the entire apartment complex, and bloodhounds were brought to try and track a scent. The dogs led authorities to a parking lot of a nearby convenience store where the scent seemed to stop. The store was not far from the apartments where Brittany and her family had lived, and it was located on a main road. If Brittany had made it to the store, why hadn't anyone seen her? Was she alone? There was no surveillance video to help answer some of these questions. The searches spanned out across 40 acres. Brittany was 6 years old and often played in nearby fields and on railroad tracks. Storage buildings and sheds were searched as well, but again, nothing was found to lead to Brittany. It seemed as if she vanished into thin air, which led everyone to believe that she must have been abducted. The disappearance of little Brittany Beers caused her family to be put under the microscope, and quickly they found themselves under investigation by Child Protective Services. A few days after Brittany disappeared, James Allen Beers, Brittany's uncle, who was living with them at the time, was arrested and put in jail for domestic violence. Child Services, after learning about more possible abuse happening in the home, removed Brittany's brother and sister from the home and said that if and when Brittany is found, they will petition for custody of her as well. Now, at first, they did try to work with Tina in an effort to help her regain custody of her children. They told her that she was to have no contact with James and that she was to get and keep a job. Sadly, Tina refused to leave James. Therefore, CPS, Child Protective Services, permanently removed her children from her custody. By age 6, Brittany had likely been abused at home by a few different people in her life, people who were supposed to be loving and protecting her. If we do believe the theory that she was abducted, possibly by a man with a mustache in a red or brown vehicle, it's easy to see how she may have been lured away simply by showing the little girl some attention and care, which she must have certainly been yearning for. Every year, vigils are held on the anniversary of her disappearance. Grandparents are known to travel across the country to attend these, but Tina hasn't attended any of them since the first one in 1998. The first big break came when a suspect in another case was arrested. The first big break in this case would come when a suspect in another case was arrested and photos of young girls were found on his computer. One photo resembled Brittany Beers quite a bit, and authorities felt it warranted a further look and investigation. For a while, everyone was on pins and needles waiting to find out if it was Brittany. The photo was ultimately determined to be a young girl from Texas and was not Brittany Beers. In 2007, Jody Paracki, a young 11-year-old girl in Michigan, was brutally murdered. Her murder went unsolved for several years. In 2015, a young 10-year-old girl ran to authorities and reported an attempted abduction. She would lead law enforcement back to a man's home, and Daniel Furlong was arrested. During this arrest process, his DNA was entered into the system. Suddenly, there was a hit. His DNA was a match to the DNA found on Jody Paracki's body back in 2007. He subsequently confessed to the murder, pled guilty, and was sentenced to life in prison. He stated that he picked Jody at random, as he had the second girl he abducted. Jody's body was found in Constantine Cemetery in Constantine, Michigan, which is about 15 miles from Brittany's home in Sturgis. Authorities are not sure if there are more victims, but many feel the girls he was drawn to seem to resemble Brittany. At one point, detectives had drawn up a composite sketch of the man the neighbor believed he saw talking to Brittany, and there was a strong resemblance between Daniel Furlong and the man in the sketch. Could he also be responsible for Brittany's disappearance? He never confessed to having anything to do with Brittany, and he maintained his innocence right up until he passed away in prison in August of 2024. Authorities have said he is still a person of interest in Brittany's case. Sturgis, Michigan. Sturgis, Michigan is known as the Electric City. Sturgis was home to the electric company that powered the Sturgis Dam in Three Rivers, Michigan. The dam is about 20 miles away from the center of Sturgis in the Village Manor Apartments, where Brittany and her family lived. The dam sits on the St. Joseph River. Michigan is a northern border state bordering Canada. It's also considered part of the Great Lakes region, with the state of Michigan itself sitting in between Lake Erie and Lake Michigan. Sturgis, specifically, sits on the southern border of the state, not far from Indiana. There are several bigger cities within a few hours' drive, including Chicago, Indianapolis, and Detroit. Sturgis is the largest city in St. Joseph County, with a population of around 11,000 residents. It's a small-town feel in Sturgis, but they are no stranger to crime. The crime rate in Sturgis is considerably higher than the national average across all communities in America. NeighborhoodScout.com rates the city with a 17, meaning it is safer than only 17% of similar-sized U.S. cities. Brittany lived with her family at Village Manor Apartments on Laura Drive in Sturgis. This apartment complex houses hundreds and is located right off of Highway 12, which runs east and west. You can take Route 12 east all the way to Detroit, and then west all the way to Lake Michigan. Easy ways to get in and out of the area. As for waterways, there are several small lakes and rivers, in addition to the nearby Great Lakes, of course. 6 miles away is the larger Thompson Lake, and of course, the rivers that run through that area, which helped power the region with the large hydroelectric dam. The apartments that Brittany lived in were located in a residential area with a road, Laura Drive, that runs straight through. Someone can drive in one side and out the other without having to turn around to exit. This neighborhood is on the east side of the city, and as you travel further east on Route 12, the area quickly becomes more desolate and rural. Brittany went missing in the evening time after 8:30 p.m. It would have been dusk or close to being completely dark. However, there were likely streetlights in the area. Could Brittany have gotten into a car willingly and no one would have noticed? Certainly, had she been yelling or screaming, someone probably would have heard due to the proximity of all those apartments. Could she by herself have walked to a nearby convenience store? That's where the scent dogs did track her to that parking lot. Maybe somebody walked with her there. The disappearance of Brittany Beers has remained one of the biggest unsolved mysteries of Sturgis, Michigan. However, despite the importance of the case, many in Sturgis, new residents and old, have never heard of Brittany Beers. Theories and possibilities. What could have happened to 6-year-old Brittany Beers? There are a few main thoughts in her case. Number one, stranger abduction. There were some questionable people in the area at the time of her disappearance, including the man who had photos of children on his computer, and of course, Daniel Furlong. Daniel Furlong was convicted of the abduction and murder of Jody Parakis, a young girl who was found deceased in 2007, just 15 miles from Brittany's home. He also very closely resembled the composite sketch of a person of interest in Brittany's case. Although they have no evidence that Daniel Furlong abducted Brittany or had anything to do with Brittany, they were never able to rule him out completely. He has since died in prison, but he maintained his innocence in Brittany's case right up until his death. I definitely have to say he does resemble the sketch a lot, but he was quick to confess to Jody's murder and the other attempted abduction, even proudly boasting about how he was able to do it. If he was involved in Brittany's abduction, I think it would have been likely that he would have also confessed. It may have also been another abductor that took Brittany. Brittany was often outside alone and not closely monitored, even at just 6 years old. A predator may have seen a crime of opportunity and took it. Number two, a family member. Brittany's childhood, all 6 years of it that we know about, was marred with abuse. There was confirmed sexual abuse and confirmed family neglect. Her mother, Tina, would also lose custody of her other two children shortly after Brittany's disappearance. Could it have been a family member that took Brittany, or worse, harmed Brittany? There are many who do believe that this is likely what happened. No one can argue that the family situation was complicated. If Brittany was harmed, however, in the home, where was she taken and by whom? Some believe that Brittany may have been taken in an effort to give her a better life. I think it's very possible that something could have happened to Brittany at the home. Statistics aren't in favor of the family here. But statistics aren't evidence, and there is no evidence that something did happen to Brittany at the home. And I have to wonder, if she was taken to provide her with a better life, would we know that by now? Brittany was taken at age 6, but she would be in her 30s now. Number 3, a runaway. Certainly, if Brittany was experiencing abuse at the home and was left alone for long periods of time, running away could be considered an option for any missing child. However, Brittany was really young. She was just 6. Even if she had successfully managed to run away at first, it's doubtful she would have been able to stay away, at least without any outside help. I do have a hard time buying into this theory, if nothing else, but for her age. What do you think happened to 6-year-old Brittany Beers? Brittany is described as a Caucasian female with blonde hair and blue eyes. She was last seen on September 16, 1997, outside her apartment complex in Sturgis, Michigan. She was last seen wearing a white tank top or t-shirt with a floral design, pink tie-dyed shorts, and white sneakers with a pink design on the sides. Her shoelaces had a red stripe down the center. She was 6 years old when she vanished, and she would today be 33. Anyone with any information on the case of Brittany Beers is asked to contact the Sturgis Police Department at 269-651-3231. Thank you for listening to Brittany's story today. A little girl lost, a little girl that needs to be found, a little girl that likely needs and deserves justice. Her case can still be solved even all of these years later. We need to keep sharing her story and her photo. Someone out there might just know something. If you have a case suggestion for us, a case that needs more attention, please send that over to me via the socials. All of those links can be found in the show notes, or you can email me anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com. If you have made it this far and would like to help us in our mission to get these cases out there, consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Let's get these cases and the names of the missing out there. A big thank you again to our newest Patreon members, David and Teresa J. Thank you for joining our Patreon group and supporting our mission over there. If you are interested, you can find bonus episodes over on Patreon, as well as our ad-free weekly episodes. The link to our Patreon is in the show notes, and I want to thank everyone who has supported us over there and helped us raise awareness and donate to the families that we've worked with. Brittany's case is older than most of the cases we do cover, but this little girl's story needs to be told. Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode on Brittany Ann Beers. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.